Welcome, everybody. Sorry for the delay. We're back live here on OC Talk Radio with our last show of the day, The Pilgrim on the 405, featuring that internationally known sales trainer, Will Crist, as he wanders the world in search of the latest techniques and technologies to help you and I master the new world of sales. So without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you Will Crist.
Vasquez of Xcera. And Xcera is particularly positioned to safeguard the electronic presence of corporations today. They have pioneered in the security industry by designing and building security infrastructure worldwide. They have helped secure hundreds of global organizations, including Fortune 500 companies, all the way down to emerging e-businesses. And I thought it was particularly interesting today to ask Reddy Mari, the president, and Cliff Vasquez, the CTO, to spend a little time with us talking about what CEOs in Orange County should be thinking about in terms of cybersecurity. There's so many places that we're hearing today that where breaches in security happen. Not only do we hear things like major corporations leaking names and email addresses, but sometimes we even hear that the government agencies are leaking Social Security numbers. Most recently, we've heard about Facebook being vulnerable. So I want to invite Cliff and Reddy to tell me a little bit about the state of cybersecurity today, some of the trends, and places where CEOs of Orange County businesses might be vulnerable. So tell me what the CEO should be thinking about today.
CEOs today should be thinking about protecting their own intellectual property if they're pharmaceutical company, technology company. They should be concerned about safeguarding their customers and their consumer data. They should be worried about their applications that are operating for their internal processing of information over their diverse set of users and groups. And finally, they should be concerned about their users and groups and their systems and their mobile systems being infiltrated and not secured enough to keep the confidentiality of the data.
Well, now, Reddy, how did you guys get into this business?
Me and Cliff have been together for the past 14, 15 years, and we actually founded our first company back in 1997. We were SI back then, and after 4 years, we merged with one more MSP, which stands for Managed Service Providers. And we sold the company in 2006, beginning of 2006 it was sold. And after that, me and Cliff were looking at a plan, a business plan. Because of our background providing 24/7 services, we actually thought that security is the hot topic. And Cliff has a lot of background in security. And we founded this company. It's been over 3 years. It took us 2 years to develop the software and the IP. And we went to market earlier this year, back in January of 2010.
Well, now, there are so many companies out there talking about security. I mean, I know that on my PC, I regularly think about things like Trend Micro, Symantec, McAfee. There must be 10 or 12 different companies that provide security. So how are you different?
We don't compete with Cisco, Symantec, McAfee, Trend Micro, or any kind of a security company out there. We actually complement their services. Our service is actually mainly focused for corporations. Okay, we don't have any play in the consumer market, for that matter. And most of the products you're talking is mostly consumer market, which is more like antivirus or security software, mostly based for desktops and laptops. We don't have any play in that space, but we support the corporations who have, every corporation has a firewall, every corporation may or may not have IDS, and every corporation has some kind of antivirus. And our service actually complements the products out there, at least the major players.
So who in Orange County businesses, for instance, should be concerned about cybersecurity?
Any magnitude of customers should be concerned about cybersecurity. If you look from the small and medium businesses all the way up to the large corporation, anybody that's regulated by best practices or governance of a security compliance, like those of HIPAA, those of PCI, payment card card industry, those that fall under COBIN and COSO, those that fall under all the different compliances, MPA compliances out there. And like Reddy had mentioned, we do complement the products in place with corporations, and the way we do that is by integrating them all and having a consolidated management of all the security incidents in different facets, and also the consolidation of all of the security facets into a reporting and dashboard console for our customers.
So tell me about that dashboard console.
The dashboard console is a dashboard console that we put together when we begin to service our customers. And what we do is we bring in all the events from different, I'll call it different facets of security. So you have your intrusion detection, right? You have your firewall management. You have your identifying your vulnerabilities of software in the environment, identifying any malware that's communicating on the network that wasn't picked up by the Trend Micro or the Symantec due to the sheer rapidness of the deployments on malware. Also detecting the attack and intrusions, and also preventing attacks from known sources that are creating attacks and vulnerabilities that are attacking into major corporations and trying to spread their malware.
So do you know where do you know these sources that are continually attacking corporations right now?
Yes, we know that from our own sources in which we gather on our network, looking at the latest attack trends, looking at the latest infection trends. We also have feeds integrated with our organizational partners to bring in that information and help protect proactively, score chart it based on the frequency, the time, the region, all of that information, scorecard it and apply it into our customers' environments so that their environments are proactively shielded from the activities, others' activities going on a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days. So continually updating that and making sure that our customers aren't susceptible to those latest attacks and infections.
Well, tell me about what's going on in the cyber world in terms of security. Is it getting better or is it getting worse?
Well, what's going on is that the malware is becoming much more sophisticated. Before, we used to have malware.
Now, when you talk about malware, what does that mean?
Malware is, the definition of malware is fake antiviruses being downloaded. People thinking that having pop-ups on their systems from going to an infected site that say, you're infected, you download the antivirus, and it's actually a malware piece that connects back to another system. So now they have your keylogging information, they can look at your screen, they can take over your system, they can use it for spamming other emails, they can use it for attacking other systems. A whole variety of things that can be utilized. Now, those malware are becoming much, much more sophisticated as, obviously, security trends tend to. And in a recent report that was out, I believe it was by Gartner, that said the efficiency of the antivirus world is becoming less and less every day, down to, I think, about 46%.
46%?
Which they recently said, yes. and that was due to the fact that malware, since it's being so sophisticated, it can be easily adopted into new forms of encryption so that it cannot be detected by antivirus scanners. So making it easy and susceptible to send out and infect systems either through what's called drive-by downloads, where somebody goes and thinks they're going to a site, but the site's infected and it automatically downloads something like an antivirus, or social media, embedding it into flash videos like on YouTube, or sending them as fake links in social media like networks like Twitter and Facebook and the old MySpace, and sending them out on different P2P sharing video files, sending them out as executables or programs or pirate software.
So is somebody vulnerable when they go up to YouTube?
Somebody can be vulnerable depending on the applications running on their systems, depending on the version numbers, depending on how they can create an overload in the local system application and then gaining access to that system. So there are many different forms of spreading it, and the antivirus tools of today are really... they need a sheer number of quantity of infections in order to be able to classify it as a signature and give you the update. So they need to see it so many times. Sometimes that's way too long. So what we do is we get intelligence on where they're communicating back to. We track and analyze all those, and we protect customers' networks and systems from communicating with those notorious locations.
All right, so you actually know where those are.
We know where those hotspots are and tracking them on a, on a daily, minute-by-minute basis.
So what are some examples of what could happen to a company who doesn't have the kind of security that you're talking about?
Well, I mean, what can happen to a company by not having a proactive security model in place is... you know, there are a couple of case points of large corporations that have been out there, like a Heartland Payment System or a TJ Maxx cybersecurity incidents. And what happens is very typical there. These large corporations, they have all the tool sets. They have their vulnerability checkers. They have their incident attacks finding out. They have their antivirus. They have... their web content filtering. They have all the different tools and facets, but because those are point solutions and they're usually one Cisco, one's Checkpoint, one's Symantec, McAfee, third-party applications, they're all pinpointed into their own logs and their own gauging all their own issues. What we do is we help companies by overlaying our platform and our intelligence system that we've built with a consolidated dashboard to pull in that information and give timely response times to all of those incidents and categorizing that and reporting on a company's security posture from these different facets or point tools all together to gauge the risk and to gauge also the security and how we're doing in improving that security over time.
Well, now, tell me what happened with Heartland.
Heartland Payment Systems...
Who is Heartland?
They're a payment processing company. They work with American Express, Visa, MasterCard. And what they do is they provide payment transactions for when you go to a restaurant or when you go to a hotel. I believe they also... but more on the consumer side. They charge it, it goes to Heartland Payment Systems, and then they work the transaction with those particular organizations.
So this is like a gateway.
So this is a gateway. And Heartland Payment Systems was actually, they had a security incident which had happened, and the theft of 100 million credit card numbers.
How many?
100 million credit card
100
numbers.
100 million?
Yes.
All at one time?
I believe it was over a cycle of time,
uh-huh.
But they were able to gain access to 100 million credit card numbers. Each of those credit card numbers ending up in a replacement cost of about $30 processing costs without the fraudulent activities, and which ended up fronting the bill to about a $3 billion cybersecurity attack.
$3 billion.
$3 billion attack on a company that was regulated very highly under PCI compliance. And what happened in the organization like Heartland is not being able to look at your security posture at any given time and say, okay, today these are my high risk, these are my medium, this is my low, this is where I'm operating at, and knowing that in a consistent fashion and being able to pinpoint reports from all their different product tool sets is what ultimately brought them to this, is not managing their security in a proactive basis, but rather a very reactive basis.
So I would assume that they had given the size of what they do and their position in the industry, that they would have had as much security as anybody in the world, right?
Right.
And yet they were vulnerable.
Yeah, and they were vulnerable, and the reason why they were vulnerable is because if you look at any industry or corporation as that side, and you have an IT staff, and the IT staff works either 24/7, and once you staff that, you have the overhead of that staff. On top of that, you have the overhead of all the tool sets and looking at all the different monitors at all the same time. So trying to find the identification is very reactive. Okay, if the identification of a security incident is reactive, the remediation will most definitely always has to be. You can't have a remediation and identification be reactive. So reactive remediation, which brings you to a cycle of over time, stealing information, ending up with the $30 billion. So it's not a matter of corporations not investing into the tool sets. It's a matter of having an organization that will help them manage it on a consistent basis 24/7, so that if the identification is proactive, then the remediation is proactive, then by using our intelligence proactively thwarting any attacks or zero-day vulnerabilities that might happen that are outside of the gap of consistently monitoring it.
So this is it's almost as if you know where the bad guys are going to hit next.
Right.
And
right.
So then you can put on stronger doors.
Right, then you can put on stronger doors. Okay. It's like knowing about the tornado coming before the tornado actually hits, and proactively being able to put thwarting items up so that systems internally can also now communicate out to those locations that might be infectious locations or those locations trying to attack and not be able to communicate.
So this sounds to me like something that most companies would find great value in.
Yes, and it's great value because it really helps corporations from a financial standpoint. It helps them be able to provide outside services to them without incurring the staff or the technology costs that it would cost them to build it in-house. Getting the latest technology trends, the latest intelligence, helping them understand proactively where all the security issues and risks are, so that at the end of the day, if the president or the CIO gets a call in the middle of the night saying there's an issue, or the compliance auditor comes knocking and saying this is what we need to see, we can snapshot every single security issue and event within a given time frame, give it to them, put them on a reporting system, making sure that executives see, okay, this is very important for the viability of our company, as these cases have pointed out, and Xera helps us continuously report on those metrics, benchmark those metrics, and improve our security.
Now, with Heartland, a $3 billion bill overnight, what did that do to the company?
It put a great financial strain. I believe that they went in and had to file for Chapter 11.
Bankruptcy.
Which
wow.
Could quite possibly, for now that PCI and credit cards are so vast, not even in the large enterprise, but even in the small, medium, doctor's offices. I mean, you look at all those different areas and HIPAA. Now these compliances are affecting not only large corporations, but small ones too. And with that bill in front of them, I don't know who would want to.
So anybody taking credit card information is responsible for that credit card information.
And anybody within the healthcare community is responsible for their patient, and whoever touches their systems are responsible for that confidentiality of their information also. So in the HIPAA world, it's actually expanded out to vendors of companies. And the PCI hasn't yet, but I'm sure that that's going to be the trend. Once one has done it, the rest will follow suit. So compliances are cracking down. It's really it's a really good idea for corporations to understand that they have the tool sets in place, and that might be fine. But looking at it, at hey, how are the efficiencies of all these tools happening? What are my critical points? And then from there, understanding from the critical points, how can Xera help us manage it on a continual basis?
So, now you mentioned TJ Maxx. What happened to them?
TJ Maxx was involved, and this was quite some time ago. This was actually before the Heartland Payment Systems was the largest cyber attack, and also consumer credit card information was stolen out of their systems. And obviously, card trade.
How did that happen?
It was not only just TJ Maxx, but also, I'm checking online here. I mean, they also have Barnes & Noble, Dave & Buster's.
Barnes & Noble and Barnes Dave & Buster's.
Dave & Buster's and 7-Eleven.
Wow.
And I think it was all done by only one individual. His name was Albert Gonzalez out of Miami. But he actually had the backing of some very professional hackers from Russia.
Oh.
So Department of Justice actually indicted him, but they couldn't get hold of the guys in Russia.
So this would be an example of somebody that you would be able to know this was the source of hacking.
We would be able to identify the systems and the systems that they're utilizing and thwart our customer from even communicating with those systems.
Wow. Now, do you have any relationships with the federal government? I mean, I would assume that Homeland Security has interest in these kinds of issues.
We work with organizations like CERT, SANS, some law enforcement agencies we work with and exchanging information. What really kind of sets us apart is that we're actually actively looking within our network and within all of our nodes deployed within large internet service providers and exchanges. For those infections, for those attacks, so that we can get to the source. And we filter that intelligence along with our partner's intelligence, bring in those, and then help our customer on a proactive basis.
So who in a company, who would you be talking to? Would you be talking to the chief security officer? Would you be talking to the chief technical officer, the CEO, the CFO? Who would be someone who would be concerned about this?
It's depending on the organization. The chief security officer, I'm sure, as I've served that role many times, would always like to know, what is my security posture now? What are my risk points? What do I need to address today that's a risk point that's I'm seeing a lot of problems? Where is my stepping stone to making sure that I'm the 99 percentile? Security is a process. There's never you're 100% secure because there's always tomorrow. And you can't be realistic on saying that you're going to be 100% forever. But as long as you have the 99 percentile mark, you can manage the 1%. But if you go from 30% to 75% back and you didn't manage it and back now you're back at 30%, then that's a continual problem and continual exposure. So the chief security officer, also the chief financial officer and also the CEO, depending on the company and the size and the regulations, because as we may as well know, that also in companies like the Motion Picture Association, they're guided under best practices, and those best practices sometimes aren't always followed.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure to be in those and be managing those on a consistent basis to take that risk off of there's two types of risk when it comes to the executive management. There's the risk of the cyber risks out there, and then there's the risk of the reputation. And the financial risk. So by addressing those three people, you have the CEO reputation, you have the CFO, the financial aspect of it, And from the technology risk, you have the chief security officer.
So not being able to secure the borders of a company is a substantial risk to not only the company, but to the well-being of the employees. It could also affect their customers,
right,
and their consumers in a hugely huge financial impacts, right?
That is correct.
And it's not that that is simply a mistake that somebody would make. I mean, there are people actively seeking to compromise the information of these industries. Is that right?
They're actively looking and they're actively performing, not only looking but performing. If you look at the statistics, I think the crime statistics, a couple of reports that I recently saw, as I said, that cyber theft has outweighed physical theft recently. And also, if you look at the side of identity theft cases, there's a published report out that says that less than 1% of identity thefts are ever resolved or ever brought to justice. So with those kind of statistics, you can already see where the cyber crime is going. And it's not a matter of, oh, it's never going to hit me. It's a matter of when and how hard. So it's that gamble of, you know, do we spend enough CapEx monies, but also making sure that those CapEx monies that have been spent in technology and tools and human time is spent efficiently, and making sure that it is efficient, and making sure that everyone knows the risk and knows the reputation and knows the financial burden that this would cause.
So what do you mean by CapEx money?
Companies, large corporations have gone in and invested in firewalls and invested in their antivirus. So CapEx costs of those hardware, software, and also resource time of their employees. But being able to effectively utilize all of those and utilize and make sure that they're working in a proactive manner rather than in a reactive identification, reactive remediation, because that CapEx spent would outweigh, the security issue and the cost associated with those security issues would definitely outweigh the CapEx expenditure of not managing them correctly.
Ready, did you?
I was just going to say that I think he's talking, when he says CapEx, CapEx stands for capital equipment.
Okay.
So it's actually an expense incurred by a client in the beginning, $1 million, $2 million. So the thing is, it's not more like a monthly cost, it's more a one-time hit to a company.
I see. Now, so tell me a little bit about what a company could do who was concerned about cybersecurity right now. What could they do tomorrow?
What they could do tomorrow, I mean, if you look at a company that's concerned, whether they're coming from a compliance standpoint or not, the first thing to do is to understand your risks or understand where you are today. Understand all the issues behind where my networks are laid out, how my information is out there, what email addresses people have, how they can find out how my email addresses are laid out. I mean, there's many, many, many areas in assessing that and looking at that from a very holistic way, making examples and then going into full detail, laying out all the different security aspects. A company that's concerned about that, we help with a lot in these cases, and we'll go in and do something very lightweight for them that will highlight some of these key and critical areas, and then from there take it further into a full-fledged security assessment, taking a look at process, users, networks, applications, everything, identifying that baseline, and then helping them after the baseline issues are gathered, analyzed, addressed, helping them manage that on a continual basis.
So you'd be willing to come in and work with a company to do a top-level assessment of where their risks are,
right,
without a huge cost.
Without a huge cost, yeah, to start off with, and then take a look at if there needs to be a more in-detailed look, what would the approach be, and what they would get out of it at the end of it, which would be a full detailed analysis report stating the issues, the risks, the remediations, and what need and whether or not they need help to get to that remediation.
Okay.
Or work with them.
Well, great. We've been talking to Reddy Mari, the president of Xcera, and Cliff Vasquez, the chief technology officer. And Xcera is a very interesting cybersecurity company because they are involved with predictive security solutions rather than reactive. They're looking for vulnerabilities that are in the marketplace right now where people are actively trying to get at data of companies, and especially companies in Orange County. And so tell me, Reddy, what if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
They can always send us an email at info@xcera.com, or they can call us at 949-502-4930, or they can visit our website at www.axera.com.
So it's www.axera.com, and they could call you at
949-502-4930.
And Cliff, they could get you by...
They could get me at my email, which is C Vasquez. That's C V A Z Q U E Z at Xcera, AXXERA .com.
Well, Reddy and Cliff, thank you so much for spending time with us and taking time from your busy day, talking to us about something that is it's so significant about how to predictively, proactively protect a company's IP assets, its vendor assets, its social security numbers of customers, as well as customer credit card numbers, and protect the company from major financial responsibility if any one of these hostile, cunning, creative cyber thieves break into the network. I really appreciate your time and your efforts. Good luck in fighting the wars out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the one and only Will Crist, the Pilgrim on the 405, right here on OCTalkRadio.net. For those of you that joined the show late, we did have some trouble getting it started here. We're going to replay the entire interview in its totality right after this, so you get a second chance to hear it again if you missed any part of it. Fascinating interview about cybersecurity coming up next. welcome everybody to the Pilgrim on the 405, that one show that each and every week tries to explore the new frontiers and the new techniques that will help you succeed in the new world of sales. So let's tune into our own personal guide through this strange new world, the one and only Pilgrim on the 405, Mr. Will Crest.
All right, today we are going to be talking to Reddy Mari and Cliff Vasquez of Xcera. And Xcera is particularly positioned to safeguard the electronic presence of corporations today. They have pioneered in the security industry by designing and building security infrastructure worldwide. They have helped secure hundreds of global organizations, including Fortune 500 companies, all the way down to emerging e-businesses. And I thought it was particularly interesting today to ask Reddy Mari, the president, and Cliff Vasquez, the CTO, to spend a little time with us talking about what CEOs in Orange County should be thinking about in terms of cybersecurity. There's so many places that we're hearing today that where breaches in security happen. Not only do we hear things like major corporations leaking names and email addresses, but sometimes we even hear that the government agencies are leaking Social Security numbers. Most recently, we've heard about Facebook being vulnerable. So I wanted to invite Cliff and Reddy to tell me a little bit about the state of cybersecurity today, some of the trends, and places where CEOs of Orange County businesses might be vulnerable. So tell me what the CEO should be thinking about today.
CEOs today should be thinking about protecting their own intellectual property if they're pharmaceutical company, technology company. They should be concerned about safeguarding their customers and their consumer data. They should be worried about their applications that are operating for their internal processing of information over their diverse set of users and groups. And finally, they should be concerned about their users and groups and their systems and their mobile systems being infiltrated and not secured enough to keep the confidentiality of the data.
Well, now, Reddy, how did you guys get into this business?
Me and Cliff have been together for the past 14, 15 years, and we actually founded our first company back in 1997. And we were an SI back then, and after 4 years, we merged with one more MSP, which stands for Managed Service Providers, and we sold the company in 2006, beginning of 2006 it was sold. And after that, me and Cliff were looking at a business plan, because of our background providing 24/7 services, we actually thought that security is the hot topic, and Cliff has a lot of background in security. And we founded this company. It's been about 3 years. It took us 2 years to develop the software and the IP, and we went to market earlier this year, back in January of 2010.
Well, now, there are so many companies out there talking about security. I mean, I know that on my PC, I regularly think about things like Trend Micro, Symantec, McAfee. There must be 10 or 12 different companies that provide security. So how are you different?
We don't compete with Cisco, Symantec, McAfee, Trend Micro, or any kind of a security company out there. We actually complement their services. Our service is actually mainly focused for corporations. Okay, we don't have any play in the consumer market, for that matter. And most of the products you're talking is mostly consumer market, which is more like antivirus or security software, mostly based for desktops and laptops. We don't have any play in that space, but we support the corporations who have Every corporation has a firewall. Every corporation may or may not have IDS, and every corporation has some kind of antivirus. And our service actually complements the products out there, at least the major players.
So who in Orange County businesses, for instance, should be concerned about cybersecurity?
Any magnitude of customers should be concerned about cybersecurity. If you look from the small and medium businesses all the way up to the large corporation, anybody that's regulated by best practices or governance of a security compliance, like those of HIPAA, those of PCI, payment card card industry, those that fall under COBIN and COSO, those that fall under all the different compliances, MPA compliances out there. And like Reddy had mentioned, we do complement the products in place with corporations, and the way we do that is by integrating them all and having a consolidated management of all the security incidents in different facets, and also the consolidation of all of the security facets into a reporting and dashboard console for our customers.
So tell me about that dashboard console.
The dashboard console is a dashboard console that we put together when we begin to service our customers. And what we do is we bring in all the events from different, I'll call it different facets of security. So you have your intrusion detection, right? You have your firewall management. You have your identifying your vulnerabilities of software in the environment, identifying any malware that's communicating on the network that wasn't picked up by the Trend Micro or the Symantec due to the sheer rapidness of the deployments on malware. Also detecting the attack and intrusions, and also preventing attacks from known sources that are creating attacks and vulnerabilities that are attacking into major corporations and trying to spread their malware.
So do you know where the, I mean, do you know these sources that are continually attacking corporations right now?
Yes, we know that from our own sources in which we gather on our network, looking at the latest attack trends, looking at the latest infection trends. We also have feeds integrated with our organizational partners to bring in that information and help protect proactively, score chart it based on the frequency, the time, the region, all of that information, scorecard it and apply it into our customers' environments so that their environments are proactively shielded from the activities, others' activities going on a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days. So continually updating that and making sure that our customers aren't susceptible to those latest attacks and infections.
Well, tell me about what's going on in the cyber world in terms of security. Is it getting better or is it getting worse?
Well, what's going on is that the malware is becoming much more sophisticated. Before, we used to have malware.
Now, when you talk about malware, that what does that mean?
Malware is, the definition of malware is fake antivirus is being downloaded. People thinking that having pop-ups on their systems from going to an infected site that say you're infected, you download the antivirus, and it's actually a malware piece that connects back to another system. So now they have your key logging information, they can look at your screen, they can take over your system, they can use it for spamming other emails, they can use it for attacking other systems. Mm-hmm. A whole variety of things that can be utilized. Now, those malware are becoming much, much more sophisticated as, obviously, security trends tend to. And in a recent report that was out, I believe it was by Gartner, that said the efficiency of the antivirus world is becoming less and less every day, down to, I think, about 46%.
46%?
Which they recently said, yes. And that was due to the fact that malware, since it's being so sophisticated, it can be easily adopted into new forms of encryption so that it cannot be detected by antivirus scanners. So making it easy and susceptible to send out and infect systems either through what's called drive-by downloads, where somebody goes and thinks they're going to a site, but the site's infected and it automatically downloads something like an antivirus, or social media, embedding it into flash videos like on YouTube, or sending them as fake links in social media like networks like Twitter and Facebook and the old MySpace, and sending them out on different P2P sharing video files, sending them out as executables or programs or pirate software.
So is somebody vulnerable when they go up to YouTube?
Somebody can be vulnerable depending on the applications running on their systems, depending on the version numbers, depending on how they can create an overload on the local system application and then gaining access to that system. So there are many different forms of spreading it, and the antivirus tools of today are really, they need a sheer number of quantity of infections in order to be able to classify it as a signature and give you the update. So they need to see it so many times. Sometimes that's way too long. So what we do is we gain intelligence on where they're communicating back to. We track and analyze all those, and we protect customers' networks and systems from communicating with those notorious locations.
All right, so you actually know where those are.
We know where those hotspots are and tracking them on a, on a daily, minute-by-minute basis.
So what are some examples of what could happen to a company who doesn't have the kind of security that you're talking about?
Well, I mean, what can happen to a company by not having a proactive security model in place is, you know, there are a couple of case points of large corporations that have been out there, like a Heartland Payment System or a TJ Maxx cybersecurity incidents. And what happens is very typical there. These large corporations, they have all the tool sets. They have their vulnerability checkers. They have their incident attacks finding out. They have their antivirus. They have their web content filtering. They have all the different tools and facets. But because those are point solutions and they're usually one Cisco, one's Checkpoint, one's Symantec, McAfee, third-party applications, they're all pinpointed into their own logs and their own gauging all their own issues. What we do is we help companies by overlaying our platform and our intelligence system that we've built with a consolidated dashboard to pull in that information and give timely response times to all of those incidents and categorizing that and reporting on a company's security posture from these different facets or point tools all together to gauge the risk and to gauge also the security and how we're doing and improving that security over time.
Well, now, tell me what happened with Heartland.
Heartland Payment Systems.
Who is Heartland?
They're a payment processing company. They work with American Express, Visa, MasterCard. And what they do is they provide payment transactions for when you go to a restaurant or when you go to a hotel. I believe they also, but more on the consumer side. They charge it, it goes to Heartland Payment Systems, and then they work the transaction with those particular organizations.
So this is like a gateway.
So this is a gateway. And Heartland Payment Systems was actually, they had a security incident which had happened and the theft of 100 million credit card numbers.
How many?
100 million credit card
100
numbers.
100 million?
Yes.
All at one time?
I believe it was over a cycle of time,
but
they were able to gain access to 100 million credit card numbers. Each of those credit card numbers ending up in a replacement cost of about $30 processing costs without the fraudulent activities, and which ended up fronting the bill to about a $3 billion cybersecurity attack.
$3 billion
attack on a company that was regulated very highly under PCI compliance. And what happened in the organization like Heartland is not being able to look at your security posture at any given time and say, okay, today these are my high risk, these are my medium, this is my low, this is where I'm operating at, and knowing that in a consistent fashion and being able to pinpoint reports from all their different product tool sets is what ultimately brought them to this, is not managing their security in a proactive basis, but rather a very reactive basis.
So I would assume that they had given the size of what they do and their position in the industry, that they would have had as much security as anybody in the world, right?
Right.
And yet they were vulnerable.
Yeah, and they were vulnerable, and the reason why they were vulnerable is because if you look at any industry or corporation as that side, and you have an IT staff, and the IT staff works either 24/7, and once you staff that, you have the overhead of that staff. On top of that, you have the overhead of all the tool sets and looking at all the different monitors at all the same time. So trying to find the identification is very reactive. Okay, if the identification of a security incident is reactive, the remediation will most definitely always has to be. You can't have a remediation and identification be reactive. So reactive remediation, which brings you to a cycle of over time, stealing information, ending up with the $30 billion. So it's not a matter of corporations not investing into the tool sets. It's a matter of having an organization that will help them manage it on a consistent basis 24/7, so that if the identification is proactive, then the remediation is proactive, then by using our intelligence proactively thwarting any attacks or zero-day vulnerabilities that might happen that are outside of the gap of consistently monitoring it.
So this is it's almost as if you know where the bad guys are going to hit next.
Right.
And
right.
So then you can put on stronger doors.
Right, then you can put on stronger doors. Okay. It's like knowing about the tornado coming before the tornado actually hits, and proactively being able to put thwarting items up so that systems internally can also now communicate out to those locations that might be infectious locations or those locations trying to attack and not be able to communicate.
So this sounds to me like something that most companies would find great value in.
Yes, and it's great value because it really helps corporations from a financial standpoint. It helps them be able to provide outside services to them without incurring the staff or the technology costs that it would cost them to build it in-house. Getting the latest technology trends, the latest intelligence, helping them understand proactively where all the security issues and risks are, so that at the end of the day, if the president or the CIO gets a call in the middle of the night saying there's an issue, or the compliance auditor comes knocking and saying, this is what we need to see, we can snapshot every single security issue and event within a given time frame, give it to them, put them on a reporting system, making sure that executives see, okay, this is very important for the viability of our company, as these cases have pointed out. And Xera helps us continuously report on those metrics, benchmark those metrics, and improve our security.
Now, with Heartland, a $3 billion bill overnight, what did that do to the company?
It put a great financial strain. I believe that they went in and had to file for Chapter 11.
Bankruptcy.
Which could quite possibly, for now that PCI and credit cards are so vast, not even in the large enterprise, but even in the small, medium, doctor's offices. I mean, you look at all those different areas and HIPAA. Now these compliances are affecting not only large corporations, but small ones too. And with those, with that bill in front of them, I don't know who would want to.
So anybody with anybody taking credit card information is responsible for that credit card information.
Is responsible for that credit card information, and anybody within the healthcare community is responsible for their patient, and whoever touches their systems are responsible for that confidentiality of their information also. So in the HIPAA world, it's actually expanded out to vendors of companies. And the PCI hasn't yet, but I'm sure that that's going to be the trend. Once one has done it, the rest will follow suit. So compliances are cracking down. It's really it's a really good idea for corporations to understand that they have the tool sets in place, and that might be fine, but looking at it, at hey, how are the efficiencies of all these tools happening? What are my critical points? And then from there, understanding from the critical points, how can XR help us manage it on a continual basis?
So, now you mentioned TJ Maxx. What happened to them?
TJ Maxx was involved, and this was quite some time ago. This was actually before the Heartland Payment Systems was the largest cyber attack, and also consumer credit card information was stolen out of their systems. And obviously, card trade.
How did that happen?
It was not only just TJ Maxx, but also, I'm checking online here. I mean, they also have Barnes & Noble, Dave & Buster's.
Barnes & Noble and Dave & Buster's.
Dave & Buster's and 7-Eleven.
Wow.
And I think it was all done by only one individual. His name was Albert Gonzalez out of Miami. But he actually had the backing of some very professional hackers from Russia.
Oh.
So Department of Justice actually indicted him, but they couldn't get hold of the guys in Russia.
So this would be an example of somebody that you would be able to know this was the source of hacking.
We would be able to identify the systems and the systems that they're utilizing and thwart our customer from even communicating with those systems.
Wow. Now, do you have any relationships with the federal government? I mean, I would assume that Homeland Security has interest in these kinds of issues.
We work with organizations like CERT, SANS, some law enforcement agencies we work with and exchanging information. What really kind of sets us apart is that we're actually actively looking within our network and within all of our nodes deployed within large internet service providers and exchanges. For those infections, for those attacks, so that we can get to the source. And we filter that intelligence along with our partner's intelligence, bring in those, and then help our customer on a proactive basis.
So who in a company, who would you be talking to? Would you be talking to the chief security officer? Would you be talking to the chief technical officer, the CEO, the CFO? Who would be someone who would be concerned about this?
It's depending on the organization. The chief security officer, I'm sure, as I've served that role many times, would always like to know, what is my security posture now? What are my risk points? What do I need to address today that's a risk point that's I'm seeing a lot of problems? Where is my stepping stone to making sure that I'm the 99 percentile? Security is a process. There's never you're 100% secure because there's always tomorrow. And you can't be realistic on saying that you're going to be 100% forever. But as long as you have the 99 percentile mark, you can manage the 1%. But if you go from 30% to 75% back and you didn't manage it and back now you're back at 30%, then that's a continual problem and a continual exposure. So the chief security officer, also the chief financial officer and also the CEO, depending on the company and the size and the regulations, because as we may as well know, that also in companies like the Motion Picture Association, they're guided under best practices, and those best practices sometimes aren't always followed.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure to be in those and be managing those on a consistent basis to take that risk off of there's two types of risk when it comes to the executive management. There's the risk of the cyber risks out there, and then there's the risk of the reputation. and the financial risk. So by addressing those three people, you have the CEO reputation, you have the CFO, the financial aspect of it, and from the technology risk, you have the chief security officer.
So not being able to secure the borders of a company is a substantial risk to not only the company, but to the well-being of the employees. It could also affect their customers and their consumers in a hugely huge financial impacts, right?
That is correct.
And it's not that is simply a mistake that somebody would make. I mean, there are people actively seeking to compromise the information of these industries. Is that right?
They're actively looking and they're actively performing, not only looking but performing. If you look at the statistics, I think the crime statistics, a couple of reports that I recently saw, as I said, that cyber theft has outweighed physical theft recently. And also, if you look at the side of identity theft cases, there's a published report out that says that less than 1% of identity thefts are ever resolved or ever brought to justice. So with those kind of statistics, you can already see where the cybercrime is going. And it's not a matter of, oh, it's never going to hit me. It's a matter of when and how hard. So it's that gamble of, you know, do we spend enough CapEx monies, but also making sure that those CapEx monies that have been spent in technology and tools and human time is spent efficiently, and making sure that it is efficient, and making sure that everyone knows the risk and knows the reputation and knows the financial burden that this would cause.
So what do you mean by CapEx money?
Companies, large corporations have gone in and invested in firewalls and invested in their antivirus. So CapEx costs of those hardware, software, and also resource time of their employees. But being able to effectively utilize all of those and utilize and make sure that they're working in a proactive manner rather than in a reactive identification, reactive remediation, because that CapEx spent would outweigh, the security issue and the costs associated with those security issues would definitely outweigh the CapEx expenditure of not managing them correctly.
Randy, did you?
I was just going to say that I think he's talking, when he says CapEx, CapEx stands for capital equipment.
Okay.
So it's actually an expense incurred by a client in the beginning, $1 million, $2 million. So the thing is, it's not more like a monthly cost, it's more a one-time hit to a company.
I see. Now, so tell me a little bit about what a company could do who was concerned about cybersecurity right now. What could they do tomorrow?
What they could do tomorrow, I mean, if you look at a company that's concerned, whether they're coming from a compliance standpoint or not, the first thing to do is to understand your risks or understand where you are today. Understand all the issues behind where my networks are laid out, how my information is out there, what email addresses people have, how they can find out how my email addresses are laid out. I mean, there's many, many, many areas in assessing that and looking at that from a very holistic way, making examples and then going into full detail, laying out all the different security aspects. A company that's concerned about that, we help with a lot in these cases, and we'll go in and do something very lightweight for them that will highlight some of these key and critical areas, and then from there take it further into a full-fledged security assessment, taking a look at process, users, networks, applications, everything, identifying that baseline, and then helping them after the baseline issues are gathered, analyzed, addressed, helping them manage that on a continual basis.
So you'd be willing to come in and work with a company to do a top-level assessment of where their risks are,
right,
without a huge cost.
Without a huge cost, yeah. To start off with, and then take a look at if there needs to be a more in-detailed look, what would the approach be, and what they would get out of it at the end of it, which would be a full detailed analysis report stating the issues, the risks, the remediations, and what need and whether or not they need help to get to that remediation.
Okay.
Work with them.
Well, great. We've been talking to Reddy Mari, the president of Xcera, and Cliff Vasquez, the chief technology officer. And Xcera is a very interesting cybersecurity company because they are involved with predictive security solutions rather than reactive. They're looking for vulnerabilities that are in the marketplace right now where people are actively trying to get at data of companies, and especially companies in Orange County. And so tell me, Reddy, what if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
They can always send us an email at info@xcera.com, or they can call us at 949-502-4930, or they can visit our website at www.axera.com.
So it's www.axera.com, and they could call you at
949-502-4930.
And Cliff, they could get you by...
They could get me at my email, which is cvasquez, that's C-V-A-Z-Q-U-E-Z, at Xcera, A-X-X-E-R-A, .com.
Well, Reddy and Cliff, thank you so much for spending time with us and taking time from your busy day. Talking to us about something that is it's so significant about how to predictively, proactively, protect a company's IP assets, its vendor assets, its social security numbers of customers, as well as customer credit card numbers, and protect the company from major financial responsibility if any one of these hostile, cunning, creative cyber thieves break into the network. I really appreciate your time and your efforts. Good luck in fighting the wars out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Been listening to the one and only Will Crist, the original, the only Pilgrim on the 405, coming to you live only on octalkradio.net.